thanks for having us. It's so wonderful to be attending this service. Is such a joy for the first time for both of us at a Unitarian service. And just down the hill from us, where our office is at 15th Street at the Mount Vernon Presbyterian Church. So we know where you are. So this is lovely to be part of this. Like Jorge said, I'm the coordinator for One Parish, One Prisoner, and I see a lot of familiar faces and names who have become close, dedicated friends with your parish, your prisoner friend, and followed him to Snohomish Mission. I'm sure there's lots of good conversation. We're so grateful for the commitment that you've entered into. The One Parish, One Prisoner is one half of our underground ministry's efforts. The other half is more local and more homey-driven, I'll say. It's less tapping into churches and equipping them throughout the state and the country. But Eric is here to talk about Direct Reentry Local Resurrection Fellowship. Like Jorge said, he's one of the navigators. And I think we'll start with Eric's story, coming out of the underground himself. And we agreed, like, if you want to raise your hand and ask a clarifying question throughout, we think that's certainly welcome. But Eric, what happened to you?
Well, good morning. I'm honored to be here. I really appreciate your guys' time and invitation for this wonderful morning. And well, I grew up in Los Angeles, and you know, like we all know, it's just pretty much low-income gang infested. And first time I ever seen a gang shooting, I was 7 years old. I was at the park, and all of a sudden, you know, shots rang out, and everybody's running. So that was pretty much not determination, but in a sense, the path that kind of evolved everybody in those neighborhoods, right? And became gang involved early age at middle schools and stuff like that, you know, drugs, drinking with my dad as a teen. So all that just pre-led to me going to prison, falling into addiction, being a violent person, and living life my way. No rules.
I left my life of destruction and everything that was in my path. I had no concern or care for. And that was even my family and their concerns about my destructive life patterns that I was going through. Getting pleas from my mom, you know, my grandparents were like big factors to me at the time. But in the same sense, I didn't want to live that way. I wanted to live my way and the streets way. And long story short, that led me through multiple years in juvenile hall, county jail. I moved from California up here about 7 years ago for a better, fresh start, and nothing changed, you know, just the location. My mind was still revolved around gangs, even though I didn't know no one up here. I still carry that persona that I had to evolve in throughout the years. And secondly, my addiction. I was a big alcoholic, and I tried to drink from the minute I woke up to the minute I went to bed with a beer in my hand. So leading through all that destruction didn't give me nothing good, and I landed in prison in Washington. So not only did I grow up in the system down in California, but now I had just traded in my son at the time. My first son, he was about 6 to 8 months old, and I traded the life to be around him, to be a dad, to be back in prison and living that lifestyle. And at that point, on my first visit, it was my youngest son's first birthday. And that was the heartbreaker part right there. My son Jesse ran through that visiting room as I came in through the door, and it just broke me. I didn't believe my son remembered me at that age, and it was just heartbreaking. And long story short, I'm here now. That was the moment that I decided that something had to change. I was done pointing the finger. I was done making my excuses. And with God's grace, I was able to meet Chris. And now I'm here with Underground Ministries. I've been out for working on 3 years now. I'm off DOC. I do not drink. I try to evolve myself as much in self-help for myself and my community that I'm here with now with Underground Ministries. And when it comes to doing the direct reentry, you know, I don't put myself in my shoes, but also I allow them to see my shoes as well. So they could know my experiences and know that I'm trying to guide them for the best. But at the same time, we're guiding each other because I learn from them. Mm-hmm. I'm not sitting here with all the answers to their questions and my own questions. I'm here learning with them as we go through this, try to get them paired up at the job that fits mentally, mm-hmm. physically, and emotionally for them, so they could be the very best person at that location with that pride and sense of joy of doing a great job, mm-hmm. carries over to our work that we do now also as, you know, our fellowship groups that we hold once a month with our individuals that we go with.
So the local fellowship, the local Resurrection Fellowship. So that's Eric. You got his story. Imagine there are 30, 40 other dudes just like him, different little detailed story, but you have a typical story for the guys that we serve. So the One Parish, One Prisoner group at SUF, 5 to 7 teams. We have 30 of them across the country coming around and getting to know one person from the underground. Resurrection Fellowship is 40 dudes from the underground doing peer support, all having been there, different stages along the journey. Eric shared a little bit of his journey with me before, and he has every reason to make excuses. And that person that you just described is not the person that I'm sitting next to here. The way that he holds himself, he talks about being a parent to his kids, pride at his job, community support. That's a whole different transformation. And there's 40 people that you, Ramon, 5 other navigators are leading to talk about various, like, what did we talk about the last Resurrection Fellowship?
Our last Resurrection Fellowship meeting, we actually had one of the county prosecutors here with us, and we were talking about vacating felonies. And that right there, like, the outcome of that mm-hmm. meeting was just mind-boggling, because we do just per invites. You know, we reach out to all the folks, and whoever comes, shows up, hangs out with us, we have a mm-hmm. good time. But last meeting, it was just like mind-blowing. So many people showed up, and so many people were first time meeting our new group.
A lot of people we haven't met before. Yeah. People, just word of mouth, someone's cousin, someone's so-and-so. Right. Yeah.
And it was just super, super awesome that everybody was willing to be there open-heartedly to learn, not just for themselves, but how they could forward that information to somebody else. And it was just, how would I say, it flowed so perfectly where no one was trying to, well, I got this crime, and what about that crime? And, you know, most of the time it's a lot of showboating. You know, they want to show the stripes that we have on the streets and stuff like that. But
there's none of that. There's none of that.
Like, we're here to, like, hey, man, like, be you.
Right.
I, you know, like me, I left everything else in the past because that's where I wanted to be. I'm here now moving forward with my life, and I'm not allowing my past mistakes, my past sins to hold me down, you know, in the underground. Mm-hmm. With the help of Chris, Alvin, Ramon, Alex, my stones have just rolled away with patience, love, and kindness that everyone has shown me. So with us doing our fellowship groups and forward that love to them, patience, kindness, it's foreign to us.
Look how tough we both look. Maybe Eric a little more than I. As dudes, as men who have grown up either with absent fathers or with abusive, strong machismo fathers, we sat at that room, we sat around the circle, everyone went around and said, I'm so-and-so, I'm here because of this. Every time, whenever someone, like half the people, when they introduce themselves, they start crying. If there's strangers to this room of 30 men, different ball caps, different jerseys, they start crying, and everyone else is ready to say, good job, I'm here for you, anything you want, I've been there. This is, the felony topic was a good one, because it's the first time for a lot of these dudes to think about the future, not just the next week or the next day, but for 5 years from now, what do I want for my kids, my family, myself? I need this off my record so I can get that job and stable housing and take care of people other than my next drink. Yeah. And that's a typical Resurrection Fellowship meeting, is 30 dudes crying and the other 30 dudes holding them up and saying it's going to be okay. And I've been there and good job for coming.
Definitely a motivation for us to keep inspiring people and the work that you guys have enjoyed. I mean, have partaken with One Paris, One Prisoner.
With Matthew. Yeah.
It's really, you know, heartwarming. And I really thank you from the bottom of my heart, because it takes hard work